Well, good evening.
Amen.
Good to be here tonight. Good to see you. Hope you've had a good day. It's been a great day in the Lord, I know that. And I think the Lord's going to send us some more good rain. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Well, tonight I want you to pray for me as we try to bring the message tonight the Lord's laid upon my heart. It's one like I've never have tried to preach before. And something that I know I need, and I trust you need it too, tonight from the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, we know it's what we need, no matter where we read from and what we intend to do. But I'm trusting God tonight that will help us in this message. There were three guys from the city that took a walk in the woods. They were going down this path. And they run across this great big hole in the middle of the path. One of the guys says, let's throw some rocks in that hole and see how deep it is. So they begin to throw rocks in the hole, and they were listening, and they couldn't hear the rock clunk. It's a deep hole. The second guy said, I saw a log back here in the path. Let's go get that log and throw that log in that hole. So they proceeded, and they did that. By that time, a farmer came up and said, sir, he said, men, have y'all seen my goat come by here? And the third guy said, yeah, he flew by a while ago and went in that hole right there, that deep hole. The farmer said, how can that be? I don't believe that. He said, that can't possibly happen because I know I had that goat tied to a log. He wasn't keeping up with his goat much, was he? Amen. Well, that's the way it is sometimes. We get all cuter, so to speak. Take your Bible tonight, and we'll turn back to Matthew, preacher. I thought you could read my text this morning. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 tonight. I hope this will be a blessing to you tonight. And, sometimes you even when the Lord lays something on your heart, you even question, is this it? You know, is this really what you want me to do? And but I trust it will be tonight, and each one of us will be blessed for it. Matthew chapter 26, I want to read one verse of Scripture in Matthew, and then we're going to read some more. I want to ask you to do something a little different. I want you to stand tonight. Let's read this verse together as we stand. We're going to read the verse, then we're going to have prayer. And ask God to bless our time together tonight. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want you to notice the last four words in this verse tonight. Say it with me out loud. The flesh is weak. One more time. The flesh is weak. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. Lord, thank you now for this time. Dear God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we meditate upon this passage of Scripture tonight, may the Spirit of God do for each one of us, Lord, what we stand in need of. Lord, we need you tonight. God, I pray now the Spirit of God will just flood our hearts and our souls, our minds, God, that we might think upon you, and God, for what we need in our lives. God, I pray your people tonight will go away rejoicing that they've been to your house tonight. There's one who's lost. I pray they might be saved tonight. Lord, glorify yourself in all that's done, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My thought tonight is simply this. Brother Tower, as you were praying the prayer while I go, you closed out your prayer, you mentioned this passage of Scripture. I said, Lord, this must be it. This must be it. My thought tonight is this. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Now, when we speak of the flesh, we're speaking, it could refer to many things. It could refer to the substance of this body. In other words, the substance of mankind, the substance also of all the animals that were ever made on the face of the earth. have flesh. The flesh is weak. When God created man, he created him from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He was flesh. He was flesh. We also look at flesh as the physical existence of all mankind. That's what flesh is, the physical existence of everybody. We all have flesh that are alive here today. That's our physical existence. Flesh is also the mold, if you please, for human existence. The mold for all human existence. Every human that's alive has had or will have a mold, a flesh. We have flesh. We also see that it was the vessel which God made known himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That is flesh. The Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. The flesh is throughout the Bible. We find that the flesh is very important. The flesh, though, is weak. Do you realize, I've been thinking about this, two things that the flesh likes to do. Not too many things does the flesh desire to do. You have to make the flesh do what it ought to do. I do. But there are a couple things that the flesh will automatically do. They likes to do. Number one, the flesh likes to eat. Right? The flesh likes to eat. Look around us, we can tell. The flesh likes to eat. Not only does the flesh like to eat, but the flesh likes to sleep. To sleep. If the flesh could get by with it all the days of my life, all the days of your life, it wouldn't do nothing but eat and sleep. That's all it'd do. The flesh is weak. The Bible says it's weak. The flesh does not desire to do anything good. Anything good whatsoever. If it was up to the flesh would never get a bath. The flesh would never cut its fingernails or toenails. It would never brush its teeth. It would never do anything good for itself if the flesh had its way. I don't know about you, but I have to make my flesh do mostly what it does. Mostly what it does. The flesh is weak. It don't do what it ought to do automatically. It has to be made to do it. Therefore, the flesh is weak. It is very weak. What the flesh does that is good, you have to make it do it. What the flesh does that is not good, it would do on its own. It'll automatically do it on its own, won't it? If it's not good, it'll do anything. But if it's good, you have to make it do it. Now, I want you to look tonight at this verse, the flesh is weak. I want you to turn it out in your Bibles to Galatians. As you look at the flesh tonight, the flesh being weak. The flesh does not want to do what it ought to do. We have to make it do it. You had to make the flesh probably to come to church tonight. The flesh really didn't want to come to church tonight. Didn't want to come to church this morning. But you had to say in your mind, in your heart, it's time to get up and get ready to go to church. Therefore, if you made the flesh come here tonight. The flesh is weak when it comes to doing what it ought to do. It just don't want to do it. It just don't want to do it. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, down through about verse 21, we're going to see three things tonight here in these verses. Number one, we're going to see how to conquer the flesh. How to conquer the flesh. How to get control of the flesh. How to have your hands on the flesh and helping it to do what it ought to do. How do we control the flesh? Number two, we're going to look at the works or the acts of the flesh. What the flesh does. The acts and the works of the flesh. And then number three, we're going to look at the judgment of those who live by the flesh. Those who live by the flesh, there's a judgment coming upon them. And we're going to see that in this passage of Scripture tonight. Now, notice first of all, how to conquer the flesh. We know that no person has the power. No person has the power to control the flesh. It's obvious in our lives. We can't control the flesh. We try hard, but we sometimes come short of controlling the flesh. Notice what it says, first of all, in how to conquer the flesh in verse number 16 of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the what? Spirit, that you shall, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the what?
Flesh.
The key to conquering the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. We find here, this is how we conquer the flesh here in this passage of Scripture. Now notice, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We see in this also that the flesh fights for dominancy. In other words, the flesh wants control of you. The flesh wants control of me. He wants control of our lives. We find we have to be careful about this. See, it lusts after the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God and the flesh are in a battle all the time. I can't say. When I got saved, and when you got saved, we became a new creature in Christ Jesus. There was a new nature that came in me. There was a new nature that came in you. But I'm here to tell you, to remind you, you already know this, your old nature is still in you. You still have that old nature within you. And that old nature and that new nature are in a battle. The battle's on. The battle's on, folks, every day of our life. It lusts against the Spirit. It struggles to fight and control mankind. The lust, the flesh does. It is always trying to control us, to restrain us, and to keep us from doing what we know we ought to do as a Christian. So the flesh, we find, does not desire to do anything good. Nothing whatsoever. It doesn't. So we find here in verse 16, the flesh fights for dominancy. We see the flesh, it lusts after the Spirit. It struggles and fights to control you and control me. All the time it fights. Also, we see in verse number 17. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. Again, we find here, the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit says, do this. The flesh says, don't do that. The Spirit says, why don't you pick up your Bible and read your Bible? Or why don't you pray? The flesh says, why don't you get something to eat? Why don't you get a bath? Why don't you get ready to go to bed? Why don't you turn the TV on? All kinds of contrary. They're contrary one to the other here. And we find this is what we're in for here is in this verse. The flesh has all kinds of unregulated urges and passions for you and I. And the world is the motivator of those passions and all those things that we shouldn't do, because we see it all the time. It's on the internet, it's on billboards, wherever you go. It's everywhere to get our attention and to get the attention of the flesh. Therefore, we find the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. A man senses the desires to do what he likes. That's lusting the flesh. When I do what I want to do. See, I should do what God wants me to do. See, it's easier to allow this flesh to do what it ought to do than to do what God wants me to do. Because when I do what God wants me to do, I'm going to have to put forth some effort myself and do it. Amen. With God's help, of course. Ask God to help me to do it. I can't do it myself, but I had to ask Him to help me to do this. Born again person, again, has a new nature and also has an old nature. And these two are in a warfare. The battle is on. The battle is on. We find this here in verse number 17. The power of the flesh, because it's so weak, it don't want to do what's right. Therefore, we find Christians not doing the will of God in their life, because we obey the weak spirit, the weak flesh, I should say, rather than the Spirit of God. It's easier to allow the flesh to have control than it is to pray and seek and walk in the Spirit and be led of God's Spirit. Therefore, we find we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Also, in the last part of verse 17, it says, so that none can do the things that ye would. In other words, these are contrary to one to another, that is the flesh and the Spirit, so that ye cannot do the things that you would do. Because there's a contrary. There's a fight going on between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Therefore, they hinder you from doing what you ought to do for God. They hinder us from doing that. We find this to be true. The will is present with us to do good as a Christian. I want to do good. There's a desire within me to do good, to do what I ought to do. But there's not enough power within this flesh to do what I ought to do. See, I have to walk in the Spirit. I have to depend upon the Spirit of God to give me the power to do the will of God for my life. I can't do it myself. It's Him in me. See, it's Him in me. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Turn back, I should say. Romans chapter 7. Look at a few verses here. We're talking about the will. The will. Romans chapter 7, look at verse number 18. Let's begin with verse 15. Verse 15. Romans 7 and verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Notice, for to what? What's the next word? Will. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I believe it's within the life of every born-again child of God to do God's will for your life and my life. But you know, to will, to want to do what God's will is in my life is a big step. But it takes more than that. It takes the power of God in us to do what God wants us to do. Because the flesh won't allow us to do it. The flesh will keep us from doing it. He will keep us from doing it if we're not careful. What is the will? The will is the power to make a deliberate choice in my life. Did you know that life is not a chance? Life is a choice. Life is a choice. We make out of our life what we choose to make out of our life. Amen. It's up to us, by God's help, of course. But we have to choose what we want to be in our life, what God wants us to be in our life. Therefore, He enables us to do that, see. But ourselves, we're weak. The flesh will keep us from doing what we would do. The flesh will hinder us from doing what we would do if we allow it to. There's a conflict between the two natures. If we consent to sin's pleading, we're the one doing it. We're the one doing it. Sometimes we said the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do it. We do it ourselves. We do it ourselves, you see. We can blame anybody, but it's ourselves that keeps us from doing what we ought to do. We do what we ought to do. We do what we want to do most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time we do what we want to do in our life. So we find here, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. As a born-again person, no longer loves sin. A born-again person no longer loves sin. He hates it. He hates it. Do you like sin? I hope you don't. I despise it. I despise it with a passion. I do. And when I get around and see things that are going on in the world today, I just get frustrated, really. I get betwixt myself because I know this is not pleasing to God. The believer must get the power, though, to overcome the flesh because the flesh is weak. The flesh has no desire to do what is good. It takes the Spirit of God within us to accomplish what God wants us to do. We cannot do it ourselves. It's impossible. It's impossible. A new nature to will good and to hate evil. We have a new nature in us as a Christian. We will to do good and we hate sin. I want to do what's right in my life. Paul says, "For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me." To will to do good is present with me. I want to do good. I want to do good, but I know in this flesh I have no power to do that which is good. I have no power to do it in my flesh. I can't do it. So what do we see? Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want us to look tonight here in these verses of Scripture. Try to understand my question tonight. How to will wrongly, desire to do something wrongly. In the book of James, chapter number 4, why do we will wrongly? In other words, desire to do wrong. Why do we will wrongly? It's present within. I want to do what's right, but somehow or another I wind up not doing what's right. Now, why is that happening to me? Why is it happening to you as an individual, as a Christian, sometimes in our life? We want to do right, but we wind up doing wrong. First of all, we find in James chapter 4, and verse number 1, "For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members?" We find, first of all, we will wrongly because of the warfare that is within us. There's a warfare, again, we mentioned a while ago. There are strides and contentions of all kind in our lives, in our minds, in our thoughts, every day that we face life. They're always in us. They are. So there's a warfare. There's a warfare going on. Therefore, we have the tendency to desire to do what we should not do. We know we should witness to a person, okay? God gives us an opportunity to be in the midst of another individual. We may have a track in our pocket. We know that we should at least give them a track, okay? The flesh says, no need to do that. But the Spirit of God says, you ought to do this. You need to give out the gospel to somebody. Now, I can obey the Spirit of God or I can obey this flesh. Okay? There's a warfare here. Have you ever been there? Has it ever happened to you that way? It does me quite often whenever I'm in the presence of other people. I want to do something to help them because I see they need the Lord. And I have to realize this flesh is going to dominate me and keep me from doing what I know I should do and I should give out a tract. Now, what am I going to obey? Am I going to obey this flesh and do wrong? Or am I going to obey the Spirit of God and do what God's will is for my life? Therefore, there's a warfare. There's a warfare constantly, all the time, going on in my life. And I have to watch out for that. Striving, contentions all the time, no matter where you go in the Christian life. But thank God, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. God gives us a victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whenever I give that tract to that individual, you know what? I feel great about it because I've done what the Spirit of God wanted me to do and I did not yield to the flesh. But if I don't give that tract to that individual, I'm going to go away like a dog wagging his tail between his legs, sad and disappointed because I didn't do what I ought to do. Therefore, there's a warfare, there's strife, there's contentions going on within us. To do what is right. To do what is right. And folks, listen. That is normal for a Christian. Don't think it's abnormal when it happens to you because it's normal when it does happen. Because you and I are trying to give to people what they need for their life and in their life. That'll help them. That'll give them peace, joy, and happiness in their life like God gave to us. Whenever you try to do good for somebody, you can always mark it down. There's somebody come along going to try to defeat that.
Right.
Somebody's going to come along and try to defeat that. But thank God. You know, there's a warfare that will cause us not to do what we know is right, what God desires us to do. Also, look at verse number 2. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not. We also see here our faith shows in the way that we will our life. We see here that the wants will cause us to will wrongly. The effort to obtain by force, wanting something. Have you ever wanted something so bad? I mean, you prayed about it, and it didn't happen. You prayed about it, it didn't happen. And you wanted that so bad, you just stepped out and got it. You know what I did when I did that? I obeyed the flesh rather than the spirit. See, I willfully did wrong, not waiting upon the Lord, not trusting Him to give me what I wanted when I needed it, really. There's a difference between a want and a need in our lives. Therefore, we need to be careful about that. Wants will cause us to will wrongfully. The effort to obtain by force. I want to get it, no matter what it costs me. I want to get it. I want to do it. Therefore, sometimes we get in trouble when we step out and try to do it in the flesh. We also see in verse number 3. Verse number 3. He says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Your own lust. We find wickedness will cause us to wrongfully. Carnal appetites, worldly appetites, will cause us to will wrongfully, to desire wrong. Therefore, we find that we're not pleasing to God. Also, we find in verse number 4, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Worldliness. Worldliness would cause us to will wrong. Did you realize the community of people that you're around will cause us to do wrong? The community of people that we're around. It can be at the workplace. It can be at the grocery store. It can be anywhere we are in this world. If we're not careful and listen to those people and what they say and what they do and listen through their mouths, they will cause us to do what's wrong. Even like I said a while ago, when you're around people and you hear them talk ugly, you hear them do things they shouldn't do, and you got a tract in your pocket, you should give it to them and you don't do it, we have allowed the flesh to dominate what we've done, what we should have done, rather than the spirit to help us do what we ought to do. You know, there have been a very few times in my life that I've ever given somebody a tract and they give it back to me. Now, when I walked away, they might have thrown it in the trash can. I don't know what they did with it. But at least I gave a tract out. I put forth an effort to try to obey the Spirit of God rather than allowing the flesh to have its way in his life, in my life. You see. Therefore, we find the community of people brings worldliness in to our lives if we're not careful. Now, how do we do what's right? How can I have the will in me to do what God wants me to do? What can I do? How will God enable me and help me to do what I should do at all times in my life? Look at verse number 5. James chapter 5, 4, verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us loveth us to envy? But he giveth more grace. Thank God for grace. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. But notice he giveth what? Grace unto the humble. He gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Now how can I do what God wants me to do in my life? I have to submit to God. I have to submit my life to God, my all to God. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm His child. I have to submit myself to Him daily. Not just once a month, but daily. I have to submit myself to Him. And He will give me the power to do what I should do. He'll give me the desire too. also to do what he wants me to do. Now, let me look at verse number 7, the first part, the second part. He says, first of all, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. If you see a situation that you shouldn't be involved with, get out of it. Amen? Stay away from it. I mean, listen, I heard a guy talking the other night about when he was younger, he was out sitting in a parking lot in his car waiting for his wife to come out of the grocery store. He saw two guys come out of the store, and man, they were at it. They were just fighting. You know, and he was younger then, and it was his desire to get out of the car and go out there and take care of the situation, you know. But before he could get out, another guy come running up there on those two guys and tried to break them up, and the two guys that were fighting ganged up on the guy that went out to fight them, to break them apart, and hurt him up real bad, and they had to call the police. And the guy said, you know, I'm glad that I didn't get out of my car. You know, we need to resist the devil. Stay away from him. Sometimes sometimes we want to do something that we are not capable of doing, we're not physically able to do. But God wants us to always resist the devil. Resist the devil. This is how we can desire always to do right. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Look at verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Get close to God, and let him get close to you. God wants to be close to me. God wants to be close to you. He wants to be closer than a brother. He loves you. He loves me. He wants to guide us in our life. And he wants us to do what is right. He wants us to do what is right. Verse number 8, the second part says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. So we need to draw nigh to God, cleanse our hands. And he also says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts. Verse number 9 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Boy, that's a hard one to do, but that's something we should do, is to humble ourselves before the Lord. God, I can't do it myself. I need your help. Would you please help me in this situation? Would you please help me? You know, I don't know, but I believe that if an individual calls out to God and sincerely and asks him for help, God has promised to help us. Right. He's promised to help us in every situation. He has. And I'm so glad that he does. The flesh fails so many times. The flesh does not want to do what is right. The flesh desires to do nothing. We know that the law of God discovers sin and convince sin, but it cannot conquer it. It cannot conquer it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can conquer sin. Amen. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can take away our sins. The Spirit of God is the answer, folks. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're closing. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of God is the answer. How can I conquer sin? How can I conquer the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 2. Romans chapter 8, verse number 2, verse number 1 says, there are therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Notice, again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We see that all time and time again, don't we, in the Word of God. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk after the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Being led of the Holy Spirit will free us from the flesh and from the condemnation of the law. Walking in the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit frees us to live as Christ lived. Paul says, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, I live my life by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. See? I'm glad to know that. Now, let's notice in closing, back in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number, Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's notice, we talked about how to conquer the flesh. Now, let's notice the judgment of those who live by the flesh. The judgment of those who live by the flesh, allowing the flesh to control their lives and rule their lives. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 21. It says, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Walking in the flesh, yielding to the flesh, will keep people out of heaven. That's where the world is today. Now, they won't keep a Christian out of heaven, but it'll keep people that are not saved, certainly out of heaven. And they are catering to the flesh. The world today is living in the flesh. They're living in the flesh. They're fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And may God help me and God help you tonight to realize the flesh never desires to do what is good. Never desires to do what is right. It takes the Spirit of God to enable us to do what is good and do what is right. And that's the only way we can make it, folks. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God help us tonight to walk in the Spirit. Brother Keith, how do you walk in the Spirit? It's a good question. How do you walk in the Spirit? You fellowship with God. You read His Word. You pray. You ask God to help you every day, to give you what you need in your life. See, the Spirit of God in you and the Spirit of God's in me as God's children. What we feed Him is going to enable Him to strengthen us. You know, you've got two dogs out here fighting. I'm in there at it. One dog may be mine and one may be his dog. They're fighting. Now, which dog is going to win the fight? We don't know. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The one that I say seek Him to the most is most likely going to win. Now, if I never recognize my need for the Spirit of God to fill me and to control my life, I may not live the Christian life as joyful as I could have if I depend upon Him. Folks, listen. We can't live this life in this world as a Christian without the help of the Holy Spirit to infill us. Now, He's within us. He's within us, but we need His filling. I mean F-I-L-L-I-N-G, not F-E-E-L-I-N-G. We need to be filled with the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May the Lord help us this week to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And may God help us not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, that we might glorify Him. Put tracts in your pocket. Take them with you to work, wherever you go. Pass them out. Do what's right. Live the life that God wants you to live, and you'll be happy. I promise you'll be happy in the Lord. I never pass out a tract yet. Give it to somebody, won't happy about it. Always a blessing to do that. I want to do what the Spirit in me wants me to do. I don't want to cater to this flesh, because this flesh will lead us wrong. Father, thank you tonight for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing the Spirit of God to come and indwell these bodies, God, when we became a Christian. Lord, to give us the power, to give us the knowledge that we need, dear God, that we might grow and realize this flesh, there's nothing good about it. But the Spirit of God that now lives within us as your child, God, you can mold us, you can make us, you can use us, Lord, somehow to bring glory to you. And I pray you do this week. Lord, help us to be what we ought to be. God, help us somehow to glorify you. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.